sermon this morning is, you create your own judgment. And I can say this, and I totally believe this, because I don't believe that God, you know, I know the Bible says that God is a, it's a horrible thing to fall in the hands of the living God, but God does not desire within inside of himself to judge anybody. And this is something that we have to realize within inside of our own lives, people, that we are totally responsible for what happens in our future. How God's judgment unfolds inside of our lives in the future. Now, I'm talking about the judgment when we go before God, each one of us, and you're going alone. And each one of us will give an account, according to what the Word of God says, for the way that we have lived our lives. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. If you're opening your Bibles up, praise God, to the book of Romans. Praise the name. Oh, praise God. Before we do this, let's pray for the dismissal of the classes. Praise God. Father, as we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we pray over this class, the adult class, and for all the rest of the classes. Father, I ask God that you, God, bless them. You touch them, God. God, you help their young minds, Father God, and you help our older minds, Father. That God, you will bless us today with your word, Father God, and as the teachers teach them, that God, they will be a blessing to the young people. And that, Father, this message I bring today will be a blessing unto the older generation. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And the classes may be dismissed. Praise God. As we are all standing, praise God, we're going to go ahead and go into the Word of God. Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. Is the beginning scripture that I want to talk to you about. Praise the name of Jesus. And this is what it says, praise God.
Romans 2, 6 to 9. 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile.
Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. See, we have to realize something, that no matter what we do inside of our lives, people, I don't care whether it's good or rather it's evil, but there will be a time that we will all face God's judgment, people. We will face it as sure as I'm standing in front of you. We will look upon that throne, and God will look at us, and he will examine. I want you to understand this. It's not just the book of life that is important inside of your the whole grand scheme of things, but it is also what you have done here on this earth. And by no means, and I have to make this statement, you cannot earn salvation. You can't work your way into heaven by just being a good person. Because I'll tell you, I was a good person, but I was a good sinner. You have to know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. And if we don't, God will judge us according to that. This is what the Bible teaches us. This is not my teaching. This is what the Bible teaches us. And the wonderful thing about God is, he does not want to judge anybody that's inside of this service or anybody that's listening to this message. God's greatest desire is that all mankind, the Bible says, get saved. That's one of the reasons that Jesus Christ hasn't shown up yet, is he is giving the world one of the greatest opportunities, people, that they will ever face. And that is to accept Jesus Christ, to be able to escape this world's misery. And yeah, you say, well, I'm saved, but I haven't escaped the misery, people. The misery that you face here is nothing compared to what is to come. Nothing. This is a milestone, people. And I know that I pointed this out, and I can't help myself. I have to keep pointing it out. People, if you can't serve Jesus now, during the rapture, you ain't going to. Your mind is going to be so far from God, it's going to be unbelievable. I know there's pastors out there that preach that, hey, you know, you have a chance in the end times, because everybody's watched those biblically correct movies. you know, where everybody's raptured up and their clothes are folded very neatly in the corner? People, I want you to understand, the Bible teaches us that in the last days, that when the rapture hit people, there will be a spirit of deception that will come upon this earth. The Holy Ghost is not going to be here. The presence of Jesus is not going to be here. God's not even going to be here. We will basically have what mankind has always wanted, to be without God. So really, if we're under all these three things, or actually four, what makes us think that we're gonna think, oh, I think I'll get saved now? There will be people that are going to get upset. I'm talking about people that have spent lifetimes in the church. And because they didn't go in the rapture, and they don't see why they didn't go in the rapture. I mean, after all, I'm a nice guy. Last week alone, I helped that little old lady across the street. But that doesn't matter, people. In the grand scheme of God's plan, what matters is your name written in the book of life? Because if it is not in there, when God faces you in that throne judgment of His, He's going to open that thing up. First thing He's going to go is, you're in alphabetical order. He's well organized. He's going to go straight down to it. And He's going to go, guess what? I don't see your name. And we will be judged according to that. And it's not God's fault. We can sit here and we can come up with the excuse, well, God, you just didn't give me enough time. People, how much time does it take to realize you need Jesus? I mean, I have talked to old men. I have talked to young men. I remember one distinct time I talked to this younger man. And when I was talking to him, this other young man came around the corner, and he sat there, and he goes, what do you mean the world's going to be destroyed? He came in on half the conversation. He didn't like that idea. He says, I'm only 20-something years old, and I'm not ready to go yet. I just looked at him and I said, you better get ready, because it's going to happen. And it doesn't matter where you're at in life, people. It's going to happen. And when it does, what are you going to do? What is God going to see inside of your heart? What is He going to see on everything? Because understand this, the Bible teaches this. Every idle word that comes out of your mouth, that means the good words and the bad words and the really raunchy words. All those things the Bible says that He will look at, and He writes down every single word that you're writing. And people, I want you to understand, He knows how to spell them all. So He's not going to misquote you. So when you face God, that's one of the things that you're going to be judged on. When you follow God, you're going to be judged on it. Whether you do what God wants you to do or not, you're going to be judged on that. All of us are going to be judged according to your life. Not how people treated you, not how you had problems in your life, not how, oh, well, you know, things aren't going right for me. God is going to judge us according to His righteousness and His mercy. And, you know, a lot of times people, they look at God's righteousness and His mercy, and they say, well, sending somebody to hell, what mercy is that? What is that? That can't be God's love. Yes, it is. That's God's love for those that are saved. Because understand this. Who wants to leave this world and all the corruption and everything that's here, get into heaven and find out it's just as bad up there? I'm one. I don't. And see, this is what God is doing. He is giving us a chance. We have the chance. We can either stay here like the Bible just told us, and we can face destruction inside of our own life, or we can prepare the way for us to walk into the kingdom of God and to receive every blessing that God has for us. And people, I want you to understand, I've been saved longer than I was a sinner. I got saved when I was 21 years old. And let me tell you, I was a good sinner. I was good at sinning. That's exactly how good I was. You know, I was like everybody else in this church. We all were sinners at one time. We all did things that, you know, we're not going to get up here and testify about. But, you know, the great thing about God is, God doesn't remember any of those. You may, but God doesn't. The minute you come to this altar and you ask for forgiveness, God takes His white out, and He's got a big bottle. And he takes out every single thing that you have done wrong in your life. And from that moment on, you are free from the judgment of God. God will not ever look at you and say, depart me, you who work iniquity. God will look at you and say, enter my good and faithful servant. And that's what we're working for. That's what we ought to have our eyes on. This is the blessings of God. This is the judgment. And understand this, God doesn't create it. Understand this also, the devil doesn't create it. We create it because we do the work that is evil, or we do the work that is good and holy and sanctified. See, all of these things, people, that's what we have to understand. And understand this, while you're walking this walk of life here, this is nothing but a test. That's all it is. It is to prepare you literally for the kingdom of God. You are here to win souls. You are here to show people the way of holiness and sanctification. We are here to reach to the lost. And people, that's why we're here. We are here so God can mold us and prepare us and shape us into the type of Christian that He wants to walk into the kingdom of God. He expects a change inside of us, people. And let me tell you, that change, it ain't going to happen overnight. So when you see somebody new in the Lord coming in and you see them making all kinds of mistakes, I remember years back, this brother got saved, and we were standing outside, and we were talking. And we were just talking, and man, he let a blooper fly out. And he almost turned fire engine red. And I sat there, and I didn't judge him for it. I didn't look at him and go, oh, you little heathen, you. He's in a growing process, just like a lot of us are. We may not cuss. We may not smoke, but we do other things, don't we? That's the little things. That's the little, as it's called in the proper language, little eccentricities that we have, little problems, issues that we have with inside of our lives that God really wants to deal with and to get out of us to prepare us so when we face Him, God looks in there and He finds out, you know what? You don't have a spot. You don't have a wrinkle. I mean, you are a man or a woman of God, and that's what God is looking for. God does not want to judge us. That is the last thing. God says that He demonstrated His love to us first. He gave us His only begotten Son first to demonstrate the great love that He had. He gave us a way, people, to escape all of this. Now it's up to us whether we pick it up, the cross, and carry it or not. If we choose not to carry that cross, we will be judged accordingly by God. It's not so much my judgment. And I want you to understand something. A lot of people tell me this. People don't have the right to judge. I don't judge anybody. All I do is I open up my good old faithful King James Bible and I go and I hold it up next to you like this. And I look at your fruits, and I look at what the fruits of the Bible says you're supposed to be like. I don't judge you. You've judged yourself by the way you act. I just come in agreement with God's Word. Nobody's judging anybody. And people get all, because the reason they use that is that that's their excuse that you can't touch me because I've got this shield of no judgment zone. And the problem is, I might not judge you. I can't send anybody to hell. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to make sure everybody has a clear understanding of what God's Word is. And you know the great thing I can't understand about this, but it's humans. It's the way we are. We got a defense mode that, I mean, if we feel that we're being threatened, it shields up. Everybody load their guns, lock them, load them, and let's shoot somebody. But people understand this. I don't understand this one thing about people. They sit there and they come up with excuses why they do the things that they do. Well, you know, I just don't think it's right. What does the Word say? Can you justify what we do that is wrong in God's eyes? Can we justify it biblically? Can we justify our lifestyles biblically? When you sit there and you walk into a bar, people, I want you to understand something. How can you justify that biblically? I want you to understand something. The Bible says that we are not to go where angels don't tread. People, God is not in the house. And you say, okay, well, maybe not, but, you know, I just do it. I need to relax. People, there's other ways of relaxing without getting in there. And people, I want you to understand something. I used to be in that scene. I used to do that stuff. Every Friday, Saturday night, man, I'd get all dressed up, and I'd go out to the nearest bar, and people, I don't know how many fights broke out in these bars. And the problem is, what if I didn't walk out of there? We don't think about that. That little stray bullet, I used to hang out at some raunchy bars. I mean, things happen. And it's like people say, well, the Bible doesn't say that it's sinful, you know, to drink. And it doesn't. To be drunk, yes. But understand this. How many drunks do you know that decided one morning, I'm going to get up and become a professional alcoholic? That's what I want to do in life. They didn't. It all started by the first drink. And the problem is, you don't know if that one drink is going to do it to you. You can't guarantee it. It's like these kids out here that think pot's harmless. Everybody that has been busted by the narcotics officers, people started out with pot. And it gradually built up to worse because they wanted more of a thrill because the other one become boring. Every single one of them started there. We don't know when we take this little bitty sin, just invite that little bitty sin, we don't know what greater sin will come behind it. We don't know. And you know, the Bible, we look at the Bible and God warns us about these things. This is why the Bible is strict on some of the things that we do in our lives. And this is why God wants us to straighten out these things inside of our lives. Because people, you're going to stand before God, and it's not like you stand before me or anybody in the church. Because God's going to look at you, and He's going to know everything about you. He's going to know His name or their names. He's going to look at you and go, oh, yeah, what about her, and her that you invited? What about that time you did this? What about the time you did it? You're going to be sitting there backpedaling so fast trying to give out excuses. But none of them are going to justify what you did because God looks at sin as sin. That's all it is. And see, it's so easy to escape the judgment of God. Don't do it. Don't sin. And, you know, I know there's a song that I the song's all right. Don't get misunderstand what I'm saying, but I don't like it because it quotes this one favorite saying of everybody. I'm only human. Oh, how many of you sisters ever heard that from one of your boyfriends? Don't answer. I'm only human. Oh, yeah. Don't give me that. You need to walk away from that man. You need to walk away from that woman. Don't give me that. It's sin. People, we have to understand that God's looking down. And, you know, I can't help but make this comment, people. I want you to understand, the minute that you walk into that bedroom with that man or with that woman, which usually is good, in a way, it's a man and a woman, not a man and a man or something like that. The minute you walk in, do you think God's doing this? No. He's watching. Don't even think God's ashamed of you and the way you look without your clothes on. He's not. He's right there. So the next time you get a thought that you're going to do something foolish like that with somebody that ain't your husband or your wife, I want you to remember God's down there. He's looking. Yeah, it's you. And he's going, why do they have to do that? I mean, if they're going to do that, why don't they do it with inside of the Bible boundaries? Get married. The Bible says it's better to marry than to, everybody, burn. How many agree with that? I mean, who here wants to go to hell? Raise your hand real quick. Nobody wants to go to hell. You know, that's why we get saved. We don't want to go to hell. Because we read the end of the story. And we know what the book of Revelation says. And the description of it, that's why it says, it is a blessing for those that read the book of Revelation and gain understanding of it. Because if you don't have the fear of God by the time you get done with that book, you need lots of prayer. Much prayer is required, as I say. But there's no reason for it. Understand this. A lot of times we sit here and we live the life, and I want you to think about this. Your husband can't make you sin. Your wife cannot make you sin. And you say, yeah, but look at Adam and Eve. Yeah, okay, let's not look at the bad examples in the Bible, okay? Just because that happened, and I want you, all right, if we're going to look at that example, let's look at the end of the story. Adam ended up working and sweating like crazy. You women suffer in childbearing. And on top of that, you women ended up with the one thing you didn't want in the first place, submission under your husband. Oh, yeah. See, if they would have left it alone, everybody would have been all right, amen? That's what would have happened. God had the perfect plan. Adam had the perfect 10, Eve had perfect 10. Those are hard to find in combinations. But people, we have to understand, because of sin. Sin killed it for everybody. It brought a difficulty inside of our lives. Sin will always bring a difficulty, people. Always. Now look at this. Go to the book of Job 34:11. Let's look at what it says. Job 34:11. This is what it says.
Job 34:11. For he repays men according to his work and makes men to find a reward according to his way.
God, look at what it says here. Here, this statement. There's a reward, people, for all of us that stay right with God. And it's this reward, I want you to understand, it's not like getting a car. It's not like getting a new home. It's not like getting that huge rock, sister, on your hand. Those are good, but they're earthly bound. That rock you got on your hand, it's staying. Sorry. That car, brothers, that you buy, it's staying. I don't care how much you love it. It's staying. All the earthly things that are around us, even the blessings God gives us, everything. People, I hate to admit this, but when I go to heaven, my computer's staying here. Any sinner wants it, go for it. It's staying here. I hope you can Google God and find out salvation or something, because you're going to need it. See, we have to understand, we are only here temporary. Temporary meanings anywhere from, I think now they're saying that the max for a person is a little over 100 years old now, on an average. So we have this 100 years of here, of being in the blessings of this world. Jokingly I say that, of course. And we look around and we have houses, we have cars, for a whole 100 years. Maybe 70. If you die young, you know. But it's only temporary. It's only for a short season. You're not looking at the big picture. When you're weighing, ooh, but I have this, and look at this, and I have this, I have this, and look at this, and I have all of this. Look at my collection of shoes. You're looking at all this and not comparing it to your eternal life in heaven. Now, I want you all to understand, I got some news for you. It might shock you this morning. We all have eternal life. You know that. Every single one of us. I don't care if you know Jesus or not. The only separation is where you're going to spend that eternity. And it's only heaven or it's only going to be hell. That's it. There is no other place. There is no, well, I want to sit off to the side here and let me think about this. God's given us that time to think about it right now. And that clock is ticking, people. For all of us. Not just one of us, but every single person that's in this church and outside of this church. Because there's going to be a day that those trumpets are going to sound, and the question that I have to ask you as a pastor is, where will you go? Where will you go? Because understand this, most of us, if we can't serve Christ now, once the rapture hit, I'm sorry. If, I mean, we got air conditioning, We got water, we got food, we got clothing, we got everything. We got everything that there is, people, right now. The question is, and we can't serve God because, oh, I have it too good. And we don't want to serve God because everything's so good. But once the rapture happens, what makes you think you're going to want to serve God? Because He took all the stuff away from you. Don't even think this world's going to look like it does right now. Our minds cannot fathom what is going to happen. One time, I was curious about something. Have you ever Googled what a person looks like after a nuclear strike? Try it. That's going to happen. Disease is going to be rampant. You're not going to have clean water. At all, people. We're going to have the sewage system is going to be backing up and everything else. So I want you to understand this. There's electricity, forget it. We're going to be walking around with candles. And the problem is, who knows how to make candles in this church? You're going to be in the dark. This is what's going to happen. We will finally, the world is going to look at this and they're going to blame God. Well, if this is God's idea of love, I don't want anything to do with it. There goes the excuses again. Why they don't want to serve God? Because God is a mean God. Personally, I'm going into rapture. I don't think God's a mean God if I'm up there and not down here when all hell breaks loose, people. I'm not going to sit there and go, oh man, I wish I was back down there. I'm not doing it. You're beyond your own. And that's basically, Christianity, understand this. It's not up to your mama. It's not up to your daddy. It's not up to your wife. It's not up to your husband. It's not up to anybody in your family to make you come to church, to make you be a Christian. It's not up to them. Because people, I want you to understand that sometimes you can push people and push people and push people, and you know what happens? You're pushing them, but they're bringing you down. They're bringing you down. And that is a dangerous thing for a Christian. So many times we're so worried about this, we're not looking at ourselves. We're not looking at ourselves. And people, if you don't take care of your Christianity, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else is going to. When we go up there and we're sitting there, we're ready to be judged, I want you to understand something. You can't go, wait a minute, I'm going to get Pastor Miller. He'll testify, I was a good Christian. Because you might look good in here, but I don't know what you're doing out there. Don't make me bug your houses. People, I want you to understand, you know, you can fool me to a certain extent unless God kicks in. Then I know all things. But I want you to understand something. We can act the part of being a Christian. But people, it's like the Bible said. God made this statement. With their mouths they praise me, but their hearts are far from me. Yeah, coming to church, people, that don't mean nothing. I mean, I've had people that are devil-possessed come inside the church. So the devil ain't afraid of this place, I'll tell you that much. He didn't like it once he got in here, though. I invited him to leave. That was the whole thing. That was it. And see, the thing that we have to understand is that if he can come in here, people, just because you come to church, that's not a sign you're a Christian. Your fruits of a lifestyle that you have, that is what a sign of a Christian is. That's what it is. The Bible puts out one sign, and it's one of the greatest signs that there is. How will they know that you are a Christian? The Bible says, by the way, you show love towards your brother and sister. You can't sit there and look at your brother, look at your sister, and treat them like last week's leftover garbage. You can't do that and say, I'm full of Jesus. You can't sit there and when somebody offends you a little bit, you want to get into a fight with them. You want to look at them and say, thank God you're in church, Jesus saved you again, because I'm going to kill you. You can't do that. You have to have the love of Christ. The greatest demonstration and the hardest things for people to get to. It's easy to hate somebody. It's easy to hate somebody. It's easy to carry around a grudge. It's hard to let it go. It's hard to learn how to love those people that are unlovable out there. And I agree that there are some pretty bad people out there. I've ran into a few of them. But you know something? I pray for them just like I pray for anybody that's inside of this church. They deserve salvation. I don't care if they're a murderer. They need Jesus just like we all do. I don't care what they've done in life. They need Jesus just like we all do. If they would have gotten Jesus in the first place, they wouldn't be the murderer that they are today. But because, like a lot of us, we sit here and go, well, I'll hold off. And they got themselves in a situation. Just like many of us do. Just like many of us, we get astray sometimes, people. We lose focus. That GPS, Holy Ghost machinery inside of us gets all messed up because you don't upcharge your batteries with the Word of God. We sit there and we let our spiritual batteries run down, and then we sit here and we're going, how come I don't feel God anymore? That's why. Working with God, people, is doing God's will. What's God's will? One, you get yourself into heaven. That's the main thing. The other thing is to follow His Word and to obey His Word. Go to Psalm 62:12. Psalm 62:12. Listen to what it says.
Psalm 62:12. To you, Lord, faithful love and you repay everyone as their deeds deserve.
See, we have to realize something here. God's love is so faithful towards us. The Bible puts His faithfulness like this. God is faithful to us even when we're faithless. God loved you when you were a sinner and doing all those things you were doing. His love just poured out to you. Why do you think you're here today? Because God cared enough about you to keep trying. And trying. And in some of you people's cases, and trying and trying and trying and trying. People, you got to understand, we don't realize a lot of times what God actually goes through to get us saved. Some of you came this close to death, literally, in order for you to find your way to the altar of God, even though you come limping in here doing it. Some of it took somebody else to pay the price besides Jesus, which is my case, in order for me to realize I needed God. And people, you have to understand that God's love is always there for us. And understand this, God is a God that rewards us for doing good. He rewards us, people. He's not, people, the Bible says that every good deed that we do, God rewards us for that good deed. Everything. You can say inside of your life, yeah, but I do this and this and this, and people treat me like this. Well, welcome to the club. People are people. You go, but these are Christians. Yeah. And? Understand this. We are all growing together. People are going to make mistakes, even as Christians. I've had Christians look at me, and I've had Christians dress me from the head to the toe. And then ask me, do you want me to pray for you? Yeah. It happens. But see, what we have to realize, are we Christian enough to let it roll off and do what the Bible says? Pray for those that despitefully use you and curse you. Pray for them. Because if you don't pray for them, who's going to? Your prayers can change them. And we sit on our spiritual hands and go, not me, because they hurt my widow feelings. Get over it. Get over it, people. We are here to save souls. I mean, I have dealt with people that have gone through things, and I understand, in the flesh, they have the right to be upset. Oh, they have the right to be upset. But in the spirit, no, they don't. Why? Because God says so. God says we need to learn to deal with those things. Is this going to happen like that? Overnight, just, oh, praise the Lord. No, it's not. It took me a long time to figure out this Christianity thing. And it's going to take you some time to figure it out. You're going to have your ups and you're going to have your downs. People, I still have ups and downs. There is a struggle between me, the flesh, and the spirit every single day. I look at some of the stuff that goes on, the injustice of this world, and I got a great solution for it. Let's drop a nuke. Boom. Let God separate the mess. That's the flesh speaking. But yet I look at that and I go, okay, those people just like I, even though I was a bad person, even though the things that I did weren't great, they have the right, just like I do, to gain salvation. And see, that's where a lot of times people, we don't understand. As Christians, God's going to look down and He's going to ask you this question when you face Him. You mark my words this morning, He's going to ask this question. Why didn't you pray for that person that offended you? Oh no, I want them to go to hell. Well, he's going to have, or she's going to have, great company. And guess who that's going to be? Because we have to learn to demonstrate the love of God. Amen. We have to become perfect. And don't give me this stuff. It's impossible for a human to become perfect. Jesus did. Was Jesus spirit? Or was he flesh? He was flesh. He was flesh. He could have reacted just like any of us do. And or want to. But he made a decision, I ain't going to. When they persecuted him, he didn't say anything. Now once in a while he would kind of put a little stinger out there to rile up the priest and the scribes and the Pharisees at that time. But he would never confront them. He would never confront them with sin. Always he showed forth love. When the lady was brought to him that was caught in adultery. Now, I look at that story, and the one thing that I don't understand, of course, back in those days, men ruled, women drooled. And I'm not trying to be mean. That's just the way it was. That is not my theory in life, okay? But that's the way things were. And my question is, during that whole scenario of when they brought that woman that was caught in adultery, where was the guy? They were so quick to want to stone them. But see, this is how the church could get. We're so quick to stone those that fall from the grace of God. And we think we are right. We get this spirit of Paul in our lives that I'm doing the work of God. I'm going to kill them all. And he was persecuting the Christians. But yet Jesus, going back to the woman that was caught in adultery, they threw her down at his feet. Here's this poor woman in shame because she had been literally caught in the act of adultery. So people, she didn't have much on. She's standing there before Jesus, and these people are ready to stone her because of a man-made law. And see, a lot of times we allow those man-made laws into our lives. We judge people by the way that, well, if you don't live up to my expectation. But you know what the problem with that is? The Bible says this. Where's that thing at? I'm looking for it. There it is. See this rod I have? No, I'm not going to come out there and hoop you. I want to show you something. With the same rod that you measure somebody else with, God's going to take that rod out of your hand during judgment, and He's going to go like that. And you know what? You better be able to stand up to it. If you judge people this high, fine. You better be able to stand up to it. If you think you're this high, and you judge others according to your standards, not the Bible standards, but your standards, God's going to go, come here, get closer. You're falling short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. And when we face God, people, I don't know about you, I don't want to have to go before God, you know, in so much fear. And by fear, I mean fear as in shaking fear. Because fear, you got to understand, when the Bible's talking about fear, a lot of times it's speaking about a highly reverence towards something. It's not talking about like, you know, God's going to beat you. God wants to do the best for us inside of our lives, but the problem that we have, we're fighting Him. We're doing just like Paul did. Paul knew the Bible. He was a scholar, people. He wasn't just some yahoo out there just riding away in the sunset. He was a Bible scholar. He knew the Word. He didn't carry the Word. He knew the Word. But the problem is, he didn't know the one that wrote the Word. That's what the problem was. And he thought when he was out there doing all of this stuff, persecuting the church of Jesus Christ, I want you to understand, he thought he was doing right. And what did God have to do? God had to do like He does with a lot of us when we get a little gung-ho thinking we're too zealous for God. He has to knock us off our high horse. And He has to literally allow us to become blind so we can see. Again. And see, a lot of times, people, God doesn't want to bring those kind of judgments inside of our lives. He doesn't want to do stuff like that. He wants to sit there, okay, look, follow my word, and you're not going to have a problem. Don't follow the word, you're going to have a problem. Look at this. Let's go to the next scripture. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10 through 11. Listen to what it says.
Isaiah 3, 10 to 11. 10. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. 11. For to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him.
Now, I want you to look at something. God, number one, God encourages us here. If you look at that verse, God encourages us. He's saying, hey, to the righteous, we're blessed. God is going to bless us. It's not easy to stay righteous. So He's going to bless us because we are putting forth the best that he or she can inside of our lives. But what does it say? It says, whoa, in verse 11. When God says, whoa, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. It says, woe unto the wicked. Why? It shall be ill. In other words, it ain't going to go good. Things are going to go wrong when you face God. And see, we all have a chance, people. I mean, what's the big thing? We serve God. Yeah, there's things we have to give up. There's things in my life I had to give up. But yet, I look at those things that I had to give up. Oh, yeah. I had to give up this. Carrying a 9mm in my boot because of the places I used to hang around in. Carrying knives. Acting like I'm all bad. When I go into a restaurant or anywhere else, I'd sit with my back nailed to that wall. Because I had a lot of real good friends out there that just wanted to lay hands on me. I lived in fear constantly. Oh, that's something I want to go back to. What do we give up? What does God want us to give up? Those things that are harmless, or harmful, rather, excuse me, that are harmful to us. I mean, there's other things that, you know, I found out, you know, I don't have to do those things to have fun. There's other things that I can do. And all it is it comes down to this, people. It comes down to this simple fact. You just need to make some serious choices inside of your life. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. This is what the Bible says. And people, I want you to understand this. God knows this, right? God knows this better than we know ourselves. And He tells us this simple fact. He says, once a person puts something into their mind, they're going to do it. They will do it. People, serving Christ is just that easy. You got to put it inside of yourself. You know what? I'm going to do it. And it's not that difficult. It wasn't that difficult for me. I'm no different than any of you. I might be older than a lot of you, but other than that, there is no difference. When I came to Christ as a young man in my 20s, I knew nothing about God. Nothing. I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God. My family didn't believe in God. We said, this was our excuse. With all this evilness around it, how could there be a God? Now, that was a beaut of an excuse. And we look around and there is a lot of evil. But you know why? Because of us. Because of humans. Because we like to sin. We created our own downfall in life, not God. Well, why doesn't God change it? He can and He will. The minute you change, He can change it. Because when He can change you, He can change everything. And that's what people don't understand. The only Bible verse, people, when I came to the Lord, I knew one Bible verse, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was it. Where I got that one, I have not a clue. But I knew that one. And I came to the Lord, you know, I found out all kinds of things. Man, what do you mean I got to love my enemies? God, do you know my enemies? Apparently God did. Because it's funny, I did not have to run from my enemies. My enemies ran from me. The next thing I know, the minute I got saved, there were three things that transcribed in my life when I got saved. Number one, I quit cussing. I could out-cuss a sailor and make him blush. That's how bad I was. You can ask my wife. Every other word, it was one of those words. I smoked 4 packs of cigarettes. God took that away. But the greatest thing out of all that He took away, all my enemies disappeared. I have yet to this day seen any of them. I didn't have to move from Bastrop to run from my enemies because I wanted to be a Christian. I stayed in the same house, had the same phone number, had the same address for years, and none of them ever showed up again. I can guess where they might have disappeared to. A few prisons may be full, a couple of graveyards might be full. But people, no matter what, understand this. God removes those things out of your life if you let Him. But you know what the trick to getting God to do things? It's this, serve Him. That's simple. Serve Him. That's all God wants. Now look at this. Let's go to another scripture. Jeremiah 17:10.
Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing.
Do we not know that God actually, when He looks down, He knows where your heart's at right now? Everybody right now is probably going, I'm sorry, God. Yeah, He knows. He knows where our heart's at. He knows if we're trying to serve Him or not. He knows, you know, what we're thinking, when we're thinking doing it, and why we're thinking doing it. All of these things go on. And God looks into the hearts of men. He don't look here. He looks here. This is the most honest part of your whole body. It's right here. Everything else lies. Body language lies. A guy feels confronted. The first thing he does is this. First thing a woman does, she does this. Yeah, I'm sorry I took Psych 101. Don't blame me. People, you got to understand that, you know, these are the things of the flesh, but God looks at all this and He goes, that don't mean they're a mean person. God looks at the heart, and that's what He judges us by. He looks at where our heart is really at. You know what He looks at? Was there a vacancy inside that heart for Jesus? That's what He looks at. Was there a vacancy in there where Jesus could actually move into that heart? Does He see the blood of Jesus Christ running through that heart? Does He see the sanctification that God brought to that heart? People, I want you to understand, God looks at these things. These are the important things to God. And He says that He rewards us, according to the Bible, for the fruits of our doing. What kind of a fruit are you? There's all kinds of fruit. We got lemons. We got persimmons. We got oranges. We got apples. We got all these different things. And God rewards us according to the fruit that we put out. And people, you need to learn this. You want to put out the best fruit. You want to do the best that you can for God. Because the work that you do for God, now again, I have to repeat this because people get this confused. You cannot earn your way to salvation. But once you get salvation by accepting Jesus Christ, understand this. You then, your works will be rewarded by God. And I want you to understand this. It's not just on this earth. God is going to reward you, according to the Bible, in the judgment. What do you want God to say? Enter my good and faithful servant. Or, wow. Wow. You just barely made it in. Personally, I want him to say, enter my good and faithful servant. Not if you would have done one more thing, son, you would have never made it in. I want the full rewards of God. I want every crown that God has for me. Even though we're going to have to give them back, but nevertheless. I want them all. And I want to be blessed by God. And people, we all, I don't think there's not a person in here that doesn't want to be blessed by God. And the way that you obtain the blessing by God is by serving God. Don't allow him to look down and say, you know, I can't do it. And it's not because God doesn't want to do it. It's because the devil, which is who? The one that goes before Jesus, before God, and he tries to bring conviction on you before God. You can't do that because they're in my area. Understand this. And this is a hard thing for a lot of Christians to get through their minds and to have a hold of. When we sin, we become sinners. And we have to repent of it. People think, oh, well, yeah, I made a little mistake. No, that mistake is called sin in reality. And when we sin, we become sinners. And we need to repent from that and move on. We need to repent from that, listen to me carefully, and move on. Not stop there and go, oh man, I messed up on God. That's it. That's an excuse. You pick up and you move on with God. Always moving on. People, I want you to think about this today. And I'm going to end with this. God wants to bless us. I want you to think about this. God wants to bless us. He wants to give us everything. He wants to give us eternal life. He wants to give us peace inside of our lives. That's always a good thing, amen. He wants to take care of our health. He wants to take care of our finances. He wants us to give us the wisdom to know how to take care and to deal with the things that go on inside of our lives. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bless us, not just here and there. God wants to bless us, but people, if we're not in the area he can, guess what? He won't. He can't. And see, the whole thing is, your judgment depends on you. How God judges you depends on you. It's not up to the devil. It's not up to God. It's up to you. I could sit up here, and I'm going to make this statement. Real quick, I can sit up here and I can give you misguided preaching. I can tell you that good is bad and bad is good. And you can go before God and say, well, my pastor told me it was all right. God's going to look at you and he's going to judge you according to the sin you did. Whether I led you astray or not, because God made you responsible for your own soul. He didn't make me responsible. He made you. This is why the Bible says, study to find yourself well approved. On that day, you need to make sure I'm right. Need I bring up that blue cow again? Good, I don't have to. Everybody remembers that. People, I want you to understand, God's judgment is coming. And where we are at that time, spiritually speaking, we will be judged when we face him according to that. And people, I don't know about you, I want to hear God say, enter my good and faithful service, man. You did a great job. Enter into the glory of the Lord. I don't want to hear that other word, depart from me, you who worked iniquity. I don't want to hear that. I have worked too hard, gone too far, people, and I've put up with just about everything this world has to throw at me. And I'm not going to surrender it. And people, don't allow your flesh to dictate your salvation, because that's what it will do. You allow your flesh to dictate you to sin, it will take you to hell. But allow the spiritual side of you to come forth and to come out so you can have your rightful place right next to Jesus, people. Amen. Let's all rise. Praise the Lord.